Good day, friends. We're glad to have this opportunity of coming into your family circle once again with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. This is all brought to you by your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ who have a sincere desire that you and your family may come to know the Bible more completely. Now, this broadcast is not a substitution for church attendance, but it is a spiritual assistance sent to you with the idea that the Word of God will mean more to you in your life as you apply it daily. We do want to say that we know there are those who are shut in who cannot get to service, and certainly our prayers go out for them, people who are sick, and also for those who mourn the loss of loved ones. We're certainly interested in those who are discouraged and despondent with life. You know, in our affluent society, people sometimes think that there'd be a great deal of happiness, and I'm sure there is happiness in the world, but there's a great deal of sorrow. So the broadcast we're going to be bringing to you for the next few weeks may give you a hope in this life to lead to the life beyond. The caption we're going to be dealing with is in question form for the next few weeks when we simply attempt to identify the answer to the question, what is the church? Now, when I was preparing this series, of course, I realized there were a number of things that had to be mentioned before we got into the basic part of the meat material that's found in the Word of God. Someone asked me when I was talking about this series in their homes, they said, well, is it important to discuss the church? And I said, I believe it's vital and important, and then I explained by simply saying that Jesus, during his personal ministry, stated in Matthew 16:18, that I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. This, of course, would be important if it were found any place in the Bible, any time in the personal ministry of Jesus. But when you begin to look at the context in that 16th chapter of Matthew, that Jesus had simply asked his apostles whom they considered him to be. And you remember they spoke up very definitely. The apostle Peter's speech is recorded. His remarks, I'm sure the others may have come up with similar thoughts. But Peter offered what was revealed to him from heaven. For he truly said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, in that 16th verse of the 16th chapter of Matthew. Then Jesus responded by saying, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed us unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So the very fact that Christ is the Son of God is associated with the church. The very fact that it was revealed to the Apostle Peter that Christ was the Son of God, and then Jesus said that upon this rock I will build my church, we see a very vital point in the mind of God and the mind of Christ regarding his church. Anything that Jesus would build certainly would have to be important. We know that church had its beginning because in Acts, the second chapter in verse 47, and you may want to check that reference out, it's the last verse in the second chapter of Acts. The book simply says, The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, there's a great deal of controversy about the essentiality of the church. Some people tell me that the church has no link with salvation. Others say that the church is just an arrangement of man to carry out the will of God upon this earth. Well, we feel that there are enough thoughts on this subject and enough concern about this subject that it might be well to discuss it from a Bible standpoint. What is the church? I want to make a proposition with you on the broadcast today. Before we get into this, we simply want you to know that we realize that we're human, that we're subject to mistake, but we understand the Bible is divine. So I'm going to suggest to you that when you take down the Scriptures, and I hope you will, and when you listen to the thoughts in this series, and we hope you'll be with us for the next 8 weeks on this broadcast, because we're going to be dealing with different facets of this subject, because there's a lot more in the Bible than people sometimes think regarding the Lord's church. And we simply want you to check out the references, and we want you to note that we're trying to offer, without addition, subtraction, or alteration, what the Word of God teaches. If you think we're misunderstanding the Scripture or misapplying it, well, you certainly feel free to contact us. We're open for any criticism, but I believe a good airing of this subject from a Bible standpoint is vital. Now, the first principle I want to offer in connection with this, when we do offer any point, we must give Scripture for it. You know, I found this to be true in a home Bible study series many years ago in eastern Indiana. I was talking to a group of ladies in their home, and we were studying the Bible, and they were good Bible students, and we made some ground rules for that study. We simply said anyone who advocates a certain position must give Scripture to sustain it for that position to be occupied. You see, it's foreign to the Word of God for me to simply say, well, I believe this or I believe that, and not give any scripture to back up really what I believe. If you believe a certain thing, and you have a conviction that thing is right, then you must give scripture to sustain it. Someone says, how could you lay down such ground rules? I'll read 1 Peter 4 and 11, and I think you'll see the crux of the whole thing, where Peter said by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. What does that imply? That implies that I have no right to speak unless I can offer the teaching that I'm offering, being cleared, so to speak, by the Word of God or by God as an oracle who would certainly give his judgment. So the first thought we want to deal with in connection with the church is found in Ephesians chapter 1. And I might suggest this for your reading if you really want to get into this. The Ephesian epistle as well as the Colossian epistle are two letters in the New Testament that deal very definitely with what the Bible has to say about the church and the Christian life. There definitely is a connection, because the Lord did add to the church daily such as should be saved or were being saved, which indicates to me that the church plays a vital part in God's plan for salvation. I have my Bible open to the first chapter of Ephesians, and I'm going to read a few verses in your hearing. I'd like to have you note the power of God that is exhibited through Christ is brought to our attention. So the brace of verses we want to consider first on this broadcast in this series is Ephesians 1, verse 20 through verse 23. That's four verses in the first chapter of Ephesians that end that momentous chapter. Well, it talks about what God actually wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. He put him far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, under the feet of Christ, and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now notice here, the church is spoken of as the body of Jesus Christ. Someone said to me when we were talking about this some time ago, when you talk about the church being the body of Christ, really what do you mean? Well, I'd like to go to a teaching that was given to the same elders that received this teaching that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. And you'll find in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts that Paul talked to the elders from Ephesus at Miletus. And when he brought that discourse to its height, in verse 28 of that outstanding 20th chapter, he simply told the elders at Ephesus that they were to take heed to themselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. You see, this brings to bear that Jesus Christ purchased the church with his own blood. So we find the church really is not a physical body at all. It cannot be looked upon as a human arrangement of man. It cannot be looked upon as a human denomination, but it has to be looked upon as the body of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to suggest to you in your talking about the church that there are certain things that you keep in mind. The church is not a physical building. And even though people may say, well, I'm going to church, or they refer to the church building as church, I understand what they mean, but we're dealing with this from a Bible standpoint. The church, then, is not a physical building, as he speaks of it here. It's not an arrangement of man, for if it was an arrangement of man, then Jesus would not have to have purchased it. But when Christ gave himself for the church, that we find in Ephesians 5:25 is clearly taught, this whole thing seems to key in on the factor that Jesus' physical body that was nailed to the cross, where his physical blood was shed, did actually purchase the church. The blood of Jesus Christ made forgiveness of sins possible. Again, to this same Ephesian epistle, as I told you, that has so many things in it that relate to the Christian and the church. I'm reading from Ephesians 1 and 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, there's one of the properties of the shed blood of Jesus. It made the forgiveness of sins possible. And the principle that is taught elsewhere in the Bible, without the shedding of blood there could be no remission, is certainly true here. But you see, not alone did that blood make the forgiveness of sins possible, but the same blood also purchased the church. So here's an interesting factor. The church, not being a human denomination, not being a physical body, is then the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. So it sets up this type of circumstance when we think of the church being his body, of which he is the head, that a spiritual teaching is offered to men who are in sin. When they obey that spiritual teaching, that brings about a new birth, which is a spiritual birth, not a physical birth. And when that takes place, the Lord, who takes their sins away, adds them to a spiritual body, which is his church. So this will eliminate a number of things as we begin in this series. If the church is the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, then it cannot be a human denomination. It cannot really be your church. It cannot really be my church. Because Jesus said, I will build my church. In other words, it belongs to him. Well, someone says this concept of the church is much different than many times is held in the world today. You see, if you look upon the church as a physical church building, or if you look upon it as a human denomination, then it's very difficult to link that with salvation. But when you realize that every person that obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ was added by the Lord to the spiritual body of Christ, which is the church, then you get into an interesting consideration here. Colossians 1:18 also says that Christ is the head of the church, and we want to leave this thought with you simply with the idea that the church is the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. Now, if you have questions, feel free to send them in. Tell your friends and neighbors about this broadcast, and why don't you be in the house of the Lord? The announcer will give you the time of service of the congregation that brings you this broadcast. Be with us as we come to you once again with another program of Bible Truth.